Our fourth story now. Syrians continue to hold demonstrations in support of the government on an almost daily basis ahead of the country's first multi-candidate presidential election. In the western city of Idlib, students took to the streets to voice support for incumbent President Bashar Assad. The demonstrators rejected any foreign intervention in the country's internal affairs and stated that only Syrians have the right to determine their own destiny. The demonstrations are being held in the run-up to the June 3rd presidential election as the country is being rocked by a surge in terrorist attacks by extremist militant groups. Takfiri militants have also threatened massive strikes on Damascus, Idlib and other major cities to disrupt the election. Assad is running against two opposition candidates in the election in which 60 million people are eligible to vote. For more on this, let's go to New York and talk to Dr. Webster Griffin-Tarpley, author and historian. Welcome, sir. Dr. Tarpley, we know that President Bashar Assad is taking part in the presidential election. What would it mean for both Syria and the world if Assad wins yet another term in office?
Well, I think it would provide what Syria needs most, and that is stability. At the beginning of this entire tragic episode, when the Saudis of Prince Bandar and the Qatari government were shipping in foreign fighters from Chechnya or from Libya or Saudi Arabia itself, the clear choice was Assad or chaos. And that has turned out to be true in the sense that the areas that fell for whatever time under the control of these terrorist rebels have suffered enormously. And the country in its housing stock and in its infrastructure has suffered atrocious damage and privations and of course, all these needless victims. So I think the question of stability, the idea of being able to guarantee the framework of civilization, is the most important single consideration. And indeed, I think from that point of view, Assad was never anywhere near the person that was portrayed in the NATO and U.S. and British propaganda media, because he was really a reformer. You could make charges against Hafez Assad, his father, for dictatorial abuses, fine. But the current Bashar Assad is not at all the same person. And I think it's interesting. We're about 1 year from the liberation of Qusair, the turning point of this entire war. Two things, really, that happened around this time of year. One was in July of 2012, there was an attempted coup d'etat, the attempted decapitation of the entire government, and the Syrian national state proved stronger than the subversion being launched by the CIA and its allies. So that was 2 years ago. And then 1 year ago, almost exactly, we had the liberation of Qusair and the turning of the tide militarily. And since the turning of the tide, we've seen Homs completely liberated, and now even key parts of Aleppo. And I think we can look forward sometime soon to getting the terrorist rebels out of all cities and larger towns and hopefully get them out definitively. So I think those are the considerations for a Syrian voter going to the polls.
And of course, speaking of terrorists, I mean, how much do you think the insurgents will be successful in their attempts to disrupt the election process through terror attacks targeting the people?
Well, whatever they do, the more they do, the more they will discredit themselves. And I think it will showcase for the world exactly what they're made of, what their program is. Here, the New York Times of today has a story about Syria on the front page, and it's remarkably egocentric. The New York Times tells us, foreign jihadis fighting in Syria pose risk in West. 70 are from the United States, and Al-Qaeda is busily recruiting from among them to come back to Europe and the U.S. for terrorism purposes. Well, how about the risk that these terrorist rebels, these butchers, have posed to the people of Syria? The New York Times, even under new management, doesn't seem to think of that. So the absolute precondition for peace is to get the foreign fighters out, the people that have come in illegally, they were never invited by a government, and therefore they should all go home. And then at some point, the NATO governments are going to have to pay the piper. They're going to have to deal with this problem. And it's, again, uncannily similar to the post-Afghanistan problem, where the foreign fighters then metastasized into much of the nearby world.
All right. We'll leave it there for the time being. Many thanks, as always, to Dr. Webster Griffin-Tarpley from New York.